speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
Our third question for tonight deals with the term synoptic. What do you mean by referring to the synoptic gospel or synoptic gospel accounts? From time to time, especially we have been involved in using that term periodically anyway on our Wednesday night classes, we have talked about studying the synoptic accounts of the Gospels. But yet at the same time, we are doing on Wednesday nights a study in reality of the life and teachings of Jesus. And therefore, it's not a true study of the synoptic accounts, and I'll explain all that as we get into this. The term synoptic, and as it applies to the Gospels, is derived from the Greek word synoptikos, literally meaning seeing the whole together, bringing everything together, and seeing it as a whole. The word is used to describe the first three gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is not a part of the synoptic gospel accounts. A minute ago I said that we have been on Wednesday night studying the life and teachings of Jesus, and in that I feel comfortable in calling it that versus a study of the synoptics, because John does not fit into the synoptic accounts. John brings in about 93% new material than what we find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When you consider Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find that these three inspired records, as they portray the life and teachings of our Lord, the material that is found therein has a lot of common ground. As we have been engaging in our studies on Wednesday nights, with the exception of the last few Wednesday nights, we've been kind of parked in the Gospel of John. But if you go back several weeks, most of our material has come from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when we look at the accounts on Wednesday night, we will focus primarily on Matthew's account, but we will also pull in what Luke has to say and what Mark has to say in comparison to what Matthew shares with us. Why? Because they all tend to offer material that helps to complement one another and material that also harmonizes with each other. The records complement and supplement one another. Take into consideration the book of Matthew. Matthew writes primarily to the Jews, and he quotes the Old Testament, and then he also stresses the kingship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was most important. Why? Because as he is writing to the Jews were familiar with the Old Testament, the law of Moses and such. And then in like figure, they were very much aware of the idea that came out of the Old Testament through the prophets that the Messiah was going to come, the anointed one of God, the King of God. Therefore, as he's writing to the Jews, he's dealing with those things that will help them understand the Word of God through Jesus Christ. Mark writes to the Romans. In this, he stresses the deeds of Christ and the obedience of Christ, hence reaching out to a people who were not God's people with hopes and anticipation of bringing them to an understanding of the fact that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the will of God. He was completely obedient to the deeds that God expected him to do, and therefore he is the Son of God. Luke writes to the Gentiles, emphasizing the manhood of Jesus. Remember what the Hebrews writer shares with us in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. In all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. The Gentiles needed to know and to understand this in order for them to accept and to wrap their thoughts and their lives in and around the Savior. As you consider the synoptic accounts, the gospel accounts here, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three accounts are accepted by the early church as inspired historical writings. Therefore, we know, not based out of what history says, but based out of what the Bible teaches us, conjoined with what we find in our study of them, the harmonization of these books, is that they are indeed the inspired, a part of the inspired message of God for our lives unto this very day.